Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Myers out of the stretch, the pitch, and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that?
The sound of summer.
So what would be your food, Lane? Like, what would you bring into AmFam Field?
I think I would go with banana pudding.
The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I love banana pudding. And with vanilla wafers, and I'd have bring a straw, and maybe like a bigger straw.
Are you 90?
It's Lane Grindle on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
And why is this taking so long? We had a courier pigeon that brought the news back to us tonight.
Lane Grindle joins us now on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. And Lane, obviously, I gotta ask for a Chicago accent to get everything started since you're joining us live from Wrigley Field.
I've been like racking my brain trying to. I knew this was coming. Like, I was prepared for it, right? And I think my thing is I don't do accents. I just say something from the city. So
I heard you guys' hot dog conversation.
Like, yeah, hey, so I, you know, give me a Chicago-style hot dog. Yeah, I'm not going to say some of the other stuff that, like, fan bases in this city would say about teams from Wisconsin. So we'll leave it at that.
All right, that's perfect. And then speaking of food, we had you on last, and you talked about bringing a bag of banana pudding to AmFam Field, and coincidentally, Pat Murphy.
To make it clear, he did not bring a bag of banana pudding to AmFam.
Not that you know of.
Not that we know of, I guess.
Molly.
I shouldn't make any assumptions.
And I think this will be up at the ESPN Madison YouTube stream here. We have, and Molly, I'm old, so I can't read that, so can you read that, what Pat Murphy
said? Pat Murphy said, I love banana cream pie with vanilla wafers or banana pudding in a pie-shaped form if you know anyone that makes them.
So did you and Pat have a conversation about this? Is he a fan of the show? Like, how? What are the odds that he has the same answer as you?
So I can honestly say we never talked about it. And the minute I saw the quote, I was like, oh, goodness. There's going to be a lot of, like, conspiracies out there that we were up to something and it was some subliminal thing we were trying to say. But I can honestly say it was merely a coincidence. I've always loved banana cream pie. I've always loved banana pudding. And I did not know that about Murph. Murph is somebody I spent a lot of time with over the course of the season. I feel like I know a lot about him. I learned something that day, and I learned something that we have in common. I haven't brought it up to him since, and I need to, because I need to let him know that, you know, one of these days, like on one of the happy flights after a series win somewhere when we're flying, we need to have them bring banana cream pie for everybody as a reward on the plane. That would be great.
You should just bring your bag of pudding and just offer to share with them.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Just sit down next to them in the clubhouse.
Hey, look, I got some pudding and some vanilla wafers.
Maybe we'll do one of his pregame shows just enjoying some banana cream pie or a bag of banana pudding together like that.
It's gross.
He would do it. Yeah. For the record, he would do it. I wouldn't have to like convince him at all. 100% I would. Yeah.
Nothing like pocket banana pudding. That just sounds delectable.
Messy. You sit down wrong.
Yes.
Hey, say hi to Josh Maurer. There's Josh Maurer.
Hello. So, Lane, you said that you heard our hot dog conversation. So if the Brewers were having like 10-cent hot dog night at AmFam Field, how many hot dogs could you house? Assuming you're not on the air. Let's just assume that.
I don't know my directions. The guy that just walked by me, Josh Maurer would be the guy that you should ask that question to because he is our hot dog connoisseur in this booth. Like, at one point, he had, like, power rankings for every ballpark, and it was really pretty impressive. What was the question?
How many 10-cent hot dogs could you house? Yeah.
I could easily do. What's my window? Like how
a game.
How much?
You got a baseball game. So what is that? 2.5 hours?
Yeah, a game
ish.
I could do 10.
Yeah, that's what's up.
I could do 10.
Tell me a dollar.
don't know that I'd want to, but I can do 10.
The problem is, Lane, is you're busy during every game. Otherwise, me and you should go to a game.
No, right?
20 hot dogs, please.
Matt's buying.
Yeah. We on my salary, we got to go on Dollar Day. Dollar Dog Day.
Yeah,
sure.
That's fine.
Why not
they
10
taste
cent
better
day?
On Dollar Day.
They do. Lane, I'm actually going to get into baseball stuff. I saw an article by Bob Nightingale, and one of the quotes stuck out to me that Joey Ortiz thinks that Bryce Terang might be one of the best players in the world. Can you talk a little bit on Bryce Terang's glow up so far this season?
Yeah, I was talking about it on the broadcast yesterday that he's starting to get a lot of recognition from outside of the Milwaukee media market, outside of maybe even the NL Central now. I think everybody around the league is taking note of this guy and what he's become. And I think the WBC helped a little bit with that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. that put him on a bit of a world stage, and he performed really, really well for Team USA. And now he's got Aaron Judge out there advocating for him. So I think a lot of things have come together at the same time. But it's been fun to watch him transform into the player he is from the day he made his debut down on this field to open the 2023 season for Bryce Terang. He has become such a different player than that kid. I mean, that was an elite glove that was trying to figure it out offensively a little bit still. And now offensively, he's such a complete hitter. I mean, he can go to left center. It feels like it will at times. I mean, that double to left center in the gap is such a beautiful swing that we see so often from him. He can clip a ball out front and get pull side air and send a ball out of here. He can obviously do what he did against the Yankees and get one out to center. He can run. He's elite defensively. And so he's just got a little bit of everything. And he's leading the National League in on-base percentage on top of it all. So, like, the approach at the plate continues to get better. The power has come along, but he's seeing a lot of pitches. He's drawing his walks. So there's really no weakness to his game. And it's exciting. I think he deserves these accolades. You know, the Brewers, I think there's this tendency because they're a small market for people to overlook the individual players. And they look at the success of the organization and they say, well, you know, it all adds up to this great sum. And they've got this great formula. And then as a result of that, sometimes we forget they have great players. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of great players on this team. And Bryce Terang is definitely one of them.
Lane, so as a Brewer fan, it always scares me when I see Brewers players get a lot of national attention, because I kind of feel like the Brewers are a farm team for the bigger budget teams, obviously with Peralta and, you know, so many more.
Yeah.
Should Brewers fans be a little bit nervous about Bryce Terang and how well he's playing, that this could be the first step out the door because he's going to want that contract?
Well, I think, look, he's played himself into a position where when he gets to free agency, he's going to have every team that can get in the mix, because he's that special of a player. And so, he'll be hard to retain when it gets to that point. But there's years left before you have to worry about that. And I would just tell Brewers fans, enjoy it. Just enjoy what you have right now, because he's special. And they've done a great job in terms of building a great farm system that's going to help them sustain blows when they happen, when a guy takes off in free agency in the future, or if they have to trade a guy a year before free agency comes up and things of that nature that we've seen them do in the past. Just enjoy it, because they've proven they have the ability to continue to chug along in a really good direction. So, look, that's a guy that's going to be highly sought after. He's turning into one of the stars of the game. It's fun. He's on your team right now. Enjoy that part.
Lane, when you go to a game as a fan, are you a heckler?
I'm not. I don't think I've ever really been a heckler. In fairness, I don't go to many games as a fan anymore. Obviously, very few baseball games. The ones I'm at are like 11U baseball games, and so I would hope I'm not a heckler at those.
That'd be even better if you were.
He's the reason there's a lack of
NFL game. I'll go to the occasional NFL game, or maybe the occasional college basketball game. And I'm not, this is so boring, but I cheer for my team, and that's kind of it. I don't know if that's just being in this business, like, where you just, you kind of steer away from that stuff publicly. Now, if I'm in my living room watching my teams play, get out of the room. it's probably not going to be very pretty if things don't go well. I think when I go to games, I'm pretty calm.
I don't know if I'm calm, but I'm with you. I can't heckle. I'm embarrassed if people I'm with heckle next to me. But the reason why I brought it up was that there's like the PCA had a little incident with Pete Crow Armstrong with the Sox fans. And just in general, this is probably the worst thing he's done, quote unquote, off the field. I think a player like that is good for the juice, the rivalry in baseball, because he's someone that fans can point to and love if he's on your team, but hate if he's not on your team. But all accounts, he's not anyone who's doing anything unsavory with baseball or like a dirty player. So he's like the perfect guy to hate if you're a Brewers fan, and a perfect guy to cheer for if you're a Cubs fan. And I think he just adds to the rivalry. What's your take on PCA and adding to this Brewers versus Cubs rivalry?
I think you're spot on, Jim. He is a guy that plays loud, right? I mean, he's a loud player. Very, very talented player. And I think if you are on the other side of his situation, you don't love him, right? Like, there's a lot there. But he hasn't done bad things off the field. You know, this is just a guy that plays a certain way, and it's going to rub the competition the wrong way. And if you have him on your team and he's playing well, you're going to love him. Now, that can turn if he goes into a rut, and right, like that, because it's a little bit of a lightning rod situation. But, I mean, there's times he's hit home runs against the Brewers, like in games that weren't competitive, and I watch him go around the bases, and I'm kind of like, they'll love it. But I'm all for it if it's like in the eighth inning and it's a game-changing home run. It's like, tip your cap, man, celebrate it. That's the game. And I think that we've gone in that direction with the players and let them show emotion. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's entertaining for the fans.
So, Lane, Jim just brought up rivalries, and he might push back here, but in the past he had said the Brewers are not the Cubs' rivals. As a Brewer fan, I look at the Cubs and think that they're our top rivals. Who is the Brewers' top rivals, and do they reciprocate, or is it a one-way road?
Well, I think the Cubs are the Brewers' main rival, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the Cardinals are in that conversation. I mean, baseball's different because everybody in your division is your rival to a degree, right? Like, there's all this history. These teams have been together. It's a little different with the Brewers and Cubs because of the Brewers coming over to the National League after being in the American League for so long. But I think your division rivals are all your rivals. And here in the last decade especially, it's been the Brewers and Cubs so often at the top of this division and the proximity and everything else. So I definitely think the Cubs are the Brewers' rivals. I get where it's probably complicated for the Cubs because they have this long historical rivalry with the Cardinals that has been, it's one of the best rivalries in baseball. But the better rivalry for the last decade has been Brewers Cubs, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's different ways to look at it, of course. But I definitely think for the Brewers, you know, the one that gets the fans going, that gets the most juice is this one. And it's fun, man. And last year in the postseason just added to that chapter by playing each other in the NLDS and playing a great series that fortunately for the Brewers went their way.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I'm pretty sure Jim just says the Brewers aren't the Cubs' rivals just to hurt me, even though it's been a good rival.
Well, it's because, look, I grew up.
I will tell you, I'll give you guys some background.
Yeah.
I came to Milwaukee from Nebraska, and I worked at the University of Nebraska for 10 years. And when Nebraska joined the Big Ten, everybody's like, well, Iowa's going to be their rival. And Nebraska was like, they're not going to be our rival. And now Iowa wins every year, And Nebraska fans still try to be like, they're not our rival. I'm like, I know they're not our rival because they beat them every year. Like, you know, so there has to be some history to it and everything else. But eventually one side has the upper hand. Right now the Brewers do have the upper hand, which is kind of fun. But it's hard to admit it when it's going against you. Sorry, Jim.
No, that's all right. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to say, so I know you're from Iowa. Are you an Iowa Hawkeyes fan when you worked?
No, I'm a Nebraska fan.
You are a Nebraska fan.
Yeah, I grew up a Nebraska fan as a kid. I was like an hour from Lincoln.
Okay.
And I was in the era of Tommy Frazier in the 90s and like when they were good. Like that's a long time ago now, but they were
I
great.
Remember those teams. They were really good.
Alabama, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were national champions. And so that was my team growing up, and I had a nice opportunity to work for them for 10 years before I came to Wisconsin.
So for my part of it, it's just that I grew up, actually, because my dad's a White Sox fan, I grew up a Brewers fan. I'm like, I'm going to root for the Brewers and the Cubs.
Right.
And so for me,
right,
like when the Brewers beat the Cubs last year, I was like, go win the World Series. Like, for example, right, I would never buy a Packers-branded thing, but when Colectivo's selling the Christian Yelich coffee, I bought it. So, like, it's just one of those mm-hmm. things where, like, I just don't have any ill will towards the Brewers. So, on that note, there's Jesse Nelson in this office who has every ill will against all things Chicago. And he has this theory that I wanted to run by you, that the Cubs somehow manifest weather to throw off the Brewers' pitching schedule and throw off the Brewers' overall travel schedule. Is there any truth to this, or is this just Jesse being a crazy person?
I mean, I'll just point you to your own manager back in 2017 where he said he'd never had a sunburn during a rain delay. but then he did it to the Brewers last year. So I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about that. You know, like, look, the weather is always a little bit unpredictable. You never know. I think sometimes here they've been quick to call it, and it's been that way at other places too. I don't know that I totally subscribe to those conspiracy theories, if you will, but there have been a couple times where it's like, that seems convenient, but you know, if you have an advantage, take advantage of it, I guess.
Lane, where does Wrigley land on like your stadium list?
I like it a lot. I was just talking to Vinny Rotino about this down on the field. It's such a unique place, right? The bleachers, obviously the Ivy, the neighborhood around it, the history, the tradition. I mean, I love coming here. They renovated the clubhouses, and when they did that, the tunnel out to the dugout was renovated too. And I miss the dark, dank, old tunnel you used to walk through, because you couldn't walk through it without thinking about all the players mm-hmm. that had walked through that tunnel. I wish they would have left that alone. I thought that was just really cool. You felt like you were in a time machine when you walked in that tunnel. This is definitely high up there for me. Fenway's number one for me. It was the last ballpark I got to. Everybody told me how much I was going to love it, and I was like, there's no way it's going to live up to it. And then I got there, and I was like, I get it. So that's number one. San Francisco's great. I love the view and just everything about Oracle Park. PNC's sight lines are amazing. I grew up a Kansas City Royals fan, so I love going to the K, even though they're going to move out of there mm-hmm. probably in the next, you know, 6 or 7 years, however long it takes them to build their stadium. But this one's definitely very high, a top 10 ballpark for me for sure. And it's always, look, there's always a lot of juice when these two teams play here too, which is fun. I wish we got more series here on the weekends. A lot of these series lately have been during the week, which is still great, but it's really fun when you get a Friday, Saturday, Sunday here, and you get a Friday afternoon here at Wrigley. Those are fun.
Lane, what team did you grow up a fan of for baseball?
You just said Royals.
Oh, the Royals.
Royals.
Okay, so when it comes to, we've talked about a lot of announcers from the other like stadiums you've been to. Was Harry Carey like high on your like Rushmore list of announcers, because such a character, and you're playing the Cubs right now. Yeah. I just feel like it's applicable.
Absolutely. I mean, he is one of the most well-known broadcasters ever. I mean, so I think he's got to be on there for sure. Yeah, I think my guy was pretty high up on that list too, obviously, and I'm partial to him and Uke. But, I mean, two of a kind in many, many ways, right? Like, just hilarious, unapologetically authentic. And I think that's, I've talked about this before, like that is a lost art in our business that so many of us, I don't know that you get rewarded for just taking chances and being yourself as much. We all start to blend together just a little bit. And I think that's a little bit unfortunate. And there was never any mistake who you were listening to when you turned on the radio and you heard you, or if you turned on the radio or television, and you heard Harry Carey, right? So, I think he's absolutely, you know, one of the first names you think of when you think of broadcasters, especially in this sport.
Lane, we're looking forward to hearing you on the call tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That's Lane Grindle. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We got Brewers at Cubs coming up. First pitch at 6:40. Pregame at 6:05.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, featuring 2026 curling national champion Matt Hamilton on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.